Hello, and welcome to Right Now with Ralph Martin, a podcast where author, speaker, and worldwide renewal leader, Dr. Ralph Martin, shares what the Holy Spirit is stirring up in the church right now. Words of encouragement from the Lord to strengthen you for such a time as this. We are glad you can be with us this week as we seek to encourage you for this moment in history. And now, your host, Ralph Martin.
Hello, brothers and sisters. Bishop Robert Barron, who many of you know, wrote an article for First Things magazine in the May 12th, 2025 edition. And the title he gave to it was Francis in Full. And what it was an assessment of where the church is now after the Pope Francis pontificate. And he begins by listing all the positive things that he felt like we have received from Pope Francis, including his very first apostolic exhortation, Evangelii Gaudium, which I also think is really almost a high point of what Pope Francis did. I taught it for many years in the seminary. And then he also mentions how Pope Francis's emphasis on simplicity, on getting out and making a mess, the smell of the sheep, the church as a field hospital, compassion, mercy, welcome, all those things are really positive and that really important legacies of Pope Francis that we want to continue. But then he also mentions that at the same time, there are some big challenges that came about with Pope Francis that now is going to be difficult for Pope Leo to address. He says, "What I find perhaps most intriguing about Pope Francis is what he didn't do. In the first days following his election, the buzz was that he was a conservative, an authoritarian whom the Jesuits had exiled after difficult years in administration. But soon enough, when it became clear that Francis, in fact, leaned to the port side of the ideological spectrum, many on the Catholic left commenced to see him as the long-awaited liberal savior, the one who would revive the post-conciliar dream that had been punctured by Pope John Paul II and Benedict XVI. Francis, they were convinced, would at long last bring us married priests, women priests, gay marriage, a liberalizing of the church's teachings on abortion, homosexuality, transgenderism, and birth control. Well, he delivered on precisely none of it. Despite his sometimes freewheeling style and imprecise manner of speaking, Pope Francis held the line, demonstrating thereby the mysterious guidance of the Holy Spirit over the doctrinal and moral teaching of the church. All the aforesaid I would count among the very real accomplishments of Pope Francis. And yet, so here Bishop Barron talks about how the very hopes that Pope Francis raised amongst those who want to see the church teaching change in all these critical areas have really left a real wound in the church. Like, what happened is that a lot of people who didn't really believe what the church teaches surfaced and felt bold enough to declare that was the case. I did some YouTube videos on this myself where, you know, Cardinal Hollerich and other really leading cardinals who had lots of influence in the church would publicly say they no longer believe in what the church teaches about homosexuality and other things as well. So even though Pope Francis himself never came to the point of actually changing church teaching, he sure gave a lot of people the belief that that's where he was heading. And so, here's what Bishop Barron says about the difficulties of all that. And yet, what one reads in almost every assessment of the late Pope is that he was, at the very least, controversial, confusing, ambiguous. Some commentators would go so far as to say that he was heretical, undermining the ancient traditions of the church. Bishop Barron says, "I do not at all subscribe to that later position, nor do I, but I sympathize to a degree with the former characterizations, controversial, confusing, ambiguous, so on." Pope Francis was a puzzling figure in many ways, seeming to delight in confounding expectations, zigging when you thought he would zag. He famously told the young people gathered for World Youth Day in Rio de Janeiro to make a mess. and sometimes he appeared to take pleasure in doing just that. One of the messier moments of the Francis Pontificate was the two-part synod on the family, which took place in 2014 and 2015. The fact that Walter Cardinal Casper, a longtime advocate of allowing divorced and remarried Catholics to receive communion, spoke at the outset of the gathering indicated rather clearly the direction that Pope Francis wanted the synod to take. But he was met with stiff resistance from bishops, especially from the developing world. And when the final document appeared, the famous Amoris Laetitia, the question seemed oddly unresolved, open to a variety of interpretations. Many, many ways, that's where we are today. People are interpreting what Pope Francis said and did in sometimes quite opposite directions. When the Pope's apologists appointed to an obscure footnote buried deep in the document as providing the requisite clarity, many in the Church were, to say the least, incredulous. And when four cardinals petitioned the Pope to resolve a number of puzzles, dubia in the technical jargon, that Amoris Laetitia had raised in their minds, they were basically ignored. I wrote about many of these issues in my book, A Church in Crisis, Pathways Forward. There are indeed many beautiful insights in Amoris Laetitia, Bishop Barron goes on, but they were largely overlooked due to the controversy and ambiguity that accompanied the document. Indeed, in the wake of its publication, a sort of doctrinal anarchy was let loose as various bishops' conferences gave the document varying interpretations, so that, for example, what remained a mortal sin in Poland seemed permissible in Malta. If a primary responsibility of the Pope is to maintain unity in doctrine and morals, it is hard to see how Pope Francis met that obligation throughout that synodal process and its aftermath. This is a very serious evaluation that Bishop Barron is giving here, and it really does show the tremendous challenge facing Pope Leo in dealing with this really very real division and working to bring unity. Bishop Barron continues, and he oddly did not seem to learn from the situation. In 2023, after the first round of the Synod on Synodality, Pope Francis's doctrinal chief, Victor Emmanuel Cardinal Fernandez, issued the statement Fiducia Supplicans, which allowed for the possibility of blessing those in same-sex unions. To say that a firestorm broke out in the Catholic world would be an understatement, and the opposition was led, once again, by Catholic leaders from the non-Western sphere. In an astonishing display of unity and courage, the bishops of Africa said that they would not enforce the teaching of Fiducia in their countries, and the Pope backed down, permitting them to dissent from the document. That all of this unfolded immediately after a gathering of 400 leaders from around the Catholic world who were never consulted on the matter simply beggars belief. Once again, the Pope struggled to maintain the unity of the Church. Bishop Barron continues, at times, too, the Pope's admirably generous instincts appeared to lead him into saying doctrinally imprecise things or countenancing problematic behaviors. An example of the first would be his endorsement on a number of occasions of the proposition that all religions are legitimate paths to God, like different languagings speaking the same truth. Now, given his clear enthusiasm for evangelization, I want to be generous in my interpretation of his words, construing them perhaps along the lines of the Second Vatican Council's assertion that there are elements of truth in all religions. But I think it is fair to say that the Pope at least gave the strong impression of religious indifferentism. As an example of his countenancing of problematic behaviors, I would point to the infamous Pachamama incident at the Synod on the Amazon in 2019. Though there remains a good deal of confusion about the purpose of the placement of the Pachamama statue in the Vatican Gardens during a prayer with the Pope, it is certainly fair to say that it generated much controversy, and the various attempts to explain it only made matters worse. Once more, the Pope found himself in the middle of a self-created and completely unnecessary kerfuffle, the man supposed to guarantee unity at least implicitly undermining it. Then Bishop Barron goes on to say quite a long section of how Pope Francis seemed to have a very hostile attitude towards conservative Catholics, particularly conservative priests and seminarians, and used a very insulting language to speak about them oftentimes. And then he says, by way of conclusion, I would like to say a few words about synodality, which I believe Francis himself would identify as his signature theme. Bishop Barron then shares how he participated in both sessions of the Synod on Synodality and learned a lot from Catholics all over the world. He said, I also came, I must admit, to appreciate the limits of synodality. Though every dialogue was lively and informative, very few of them moved toward decision, judgment, or resolution. So respectful were we of the process of conversation that we had almost a phobia of coming to a decision. This is a fatal problem for Christians entrusted with the evangelical command to announce Christ to the world. The upshot is something that I believe is repugnant to what Pope Francis had consistently said he wants the church to be: extroverted, mission-oriented, not stuck in the sacristy. I wondered at times during the two rounds of the synod where the synodality represented a tension within the mind and heart of Francis himself. So this is a very significant article. I actually think it took a lot of courage for Bishop Barron to say what he's saying here. He's certainly trying to balance it with a whole first section that speaks about the positive things that Pope Francis has brought to the church. But the things he pointed out about confusion, ambiguity, maybe actually causing division by some of his actions and decisions, is very serious. So when we think about the task facing Pope Leo, we have to be realistic. We know that Pope Leo wants to try to kind of bridge the polarization that has manifested itself in the Pope, in the church. We know that there's very serious divisions. We know that whole bishops' conferences are advocating for changes in our teaching that can't change. They come from Christ. They're part of the tradition with a big T of the church. They're in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And we know there's a lot of people throughout the church who are in that same camp. And there's others that are saying, no, we can't go there. So a lot of these people are in positions of high responsibility. A lot of them were appointed by Pope Francis, perhaps to carry out his agenda. And perhaps some of the same effects are coming from people he appointed. So let's pray for Pope Leo. Let's ask God to give him wisdom. Let's ask God to give him courage. Let's ask God to give him boldness. You know, a lot of times people ask me, well, what do you think about how Pope Leo's doing? And what I say is, gee, he seems like he's talking to everybody and listening to everybody. And almost everybody he listens to gives a press conference saying the Pope agrees with me and some of the same divisions that are apparent there. So all I have to say is that we have to give him some time. We have to pray for him quite a bit. He's facing a tremendously difficult task, and it's very important because the ability of the Catholic Church to talk with one voice, the ability of the Catholic Church to proclaim the gospel without compromise, the ability of the Catholic Church to strengthen people who are caught up in the confusion of our culture, particularly in marriage and sexuality and gender identity, really is hanging in the balance. And if we really love people, we need to ask God to somehow give the church a clear voice, able to speak the truth in love. And I'd like to just express my appreciation to Bishop Barron for his balanced but brave evaluation of the pontificate of Pope Francis. And I think it helps us not just in looking back, but I think it helps us in knowing what we're facing right now, because these problems have not gone away with the election of a new pope. They're there. And Pope Leo is facing tremendous challenges. Lord, help us. Amen.
This podcast is brought to you by Renewal Ministries, part of the Renewal Podcast Network. If you are enjoying this podcast, we invite you to help us spread the word by leaving us a rating or review, following or subscribing to this podcast, or sharing on social media. Until next time, this is Right Now with Ralph Martin.